from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. A single play sums up the Giants' best of times, worst of times season to date. On May the 25th, Angel Pagan hit an inside-the-park home run to win the game. He also pulled a hamstring muscle, re-injured it a few weeks later, and is now probably out for the season. For the A's, on the other hand, the first half was pure green and gold as they lead the American League West. Coming up, baseball at midseason. And then in our second half hour, while there may not be a Bay Bridge series this year, or for that matter, even a new Bay Bridge, the Bay itself endures, and it's the subject of a fascinating new history called Down by the Bay. We'll talk with author Matthew Morse Booker and about baseball ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Following the All-Star break, the Giants and A's resume action tonight in what is usually called the second half of the season. Actually, though, only 42% of the season remains, which is great for the A's, who lead the American League West and have one of the best records in baseball. Perhaps not such good news for the Giants, who have that much less time to improve upon their first 58% of the season, which was pretty dismal. For the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk about Giants and A's, their prospects to make the playoffs, what surprises may be in store for the balance of the season, who may make the playoffs, and who may get busted for using performance-enhancing drugs, always a baseball topic, no matter whether there's 58% of the season passed or 42% of the season still to go. Joining us, Ann Killian, sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And Rick Tittle joins us as well, sports talk show host. He hosts Titillating Sports on Sports Byline USA, also does pre- and post-game for the A's on 95.7. Rick, good morning.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, thank you. Though I'm a Giants fan, so maybe not so good. And your story this morning was headlined, Giants season isn't over, but soon could be. Where are we?
Well, exactly there. I mean, they open, they have 68 games to play. They're 6.5 back in fourth place in their division, not where the reigning world champions expected themselves to be or their rabid fan base expected them to be. It's pretty bumpy first, what did you say it was, 58% of the season?
Right.
So, you know, they open with three games against the division-leading Diamondbacks starting tonight, and then they have seven more at home. And by the end of that 10-game homestand, which coincides, the end of that coincides with the trade deadline, they should know if they're, you know, buyers or sellers, if they're contenders, or if they're really out of it. Because, you know, if they just stay status quo and they end this 10-game homestand 6.5 back, still in fourth place, that's a pretty rough climb with only 58 games to go. It still can be done now, and it could still be done in August. They did it in 2010, the year they won their first World Series, but it's asking a lot.
And Rick Tittle, your snapshot on where the A's stand after they're sort of remarkable how they managed to be in the place they are, given all the things, given that they're the team without a home in some ways, given everything else that goes on, always goes on with the A's.
Well, I think the players and Bob Melvin, they don't think about those off-field distractions and the fact that ownership wants to get out of Oakland. They're just there to win games. They're off to their best start since 1990. You look up and down the roster, you might wonder how they get it done. They get it done with pitching and defense and some timely hitting as well. And Josh Donaldson has had a breakout season for him. This is a guy who looked like he was on his way out of the organization when Brandon Inge got hurt last year. Remember, the A's tried Donaldson, then they tried Inge after Sizemore got hurt. They brought in a guy, Luke Hughes, for a couple games. So they brought back Donaldson a fourth time, not because I think they thought he was going to explode, just because they're just being cheap. And you see what happened. He had all-star numbers, didn't get to go to the game. But Bob Melvin has created such an esprit de corps in that team. And some of the young pitching has really stepped up as well. I mean, it is remarkable when you look down the list and see guys that are hitting around the Mendoza line, and yet the A's still have a two-game lead with a lower payroll, and it's a remarkable job that Bob Melvin's doing.
Yeah, if you look at Cespedes is batting .225, Josh Reddick .218, Brandon Moss .228. Their team batting average overall is .245, and yet they're in first place.
Yeah, Cespedes, I wouldn't worry about the average. He's a guy that needs to produce RBI and home runs, which he needs to step up, and hopefully after winning the home run derby, he'll get that boost of confidence. He's had a pretty poor last 3 weeks to a month. Reddick was hurt when he had a couple games in Sacramento and one in Stockton as well. I think he sort of got a little wake-up call. He's hitting a little bit better as they go along. But the question people always ask me is, you know, with 2 weeks left with the non-waiver trade deadline, and then we get into August, you have to pass through waivers, is will the A's make a move? And I don't think they will. Last year, their big move before the deadline was trading Suzuki to the Nationals and picking up a DFA'd Kataris that's designated for assignment from Milwaukee. And then they waited until August to get Stephen Drew. So the A's, I don't expect them to make a big move, even though I think they should.
Rick Tittle joining us this morning along with Ann Killian as we talk about this first half of the baseball season and what the second half may hold. The great trade Timmy debate, Ann Killian. Brian Sabian, the Giants general manager, said yesterday that that's not likely to happen. Where do you think the Giants will go in terms of making moves or not moves?
Well, I think they need to, if they think they're going to stay in it, even if they don't, they need another starting pitcher or two. There's no assurance that Ryan Vogelsong will be back, though Bochy expressed some optimism about that yesterday, maybe like second week in August. But nobody knows how he's going to be. You know, he's an older guy coming off a broken hand. They just don't have any depth. But in terms of Tim, they're not going to move him, and they can't. I mean, they can't. People were talking after his no-hitter that, you know, his trade value's high, and he obviously has value both as a starter and as a reliever. But they couldn't get something as valuable in return for him. They need a top-line starting pitcher, and that's what he still is. And, you know, you can't finish out the season without starting pitching, whether you're in it or not. They need people to start games. So I don't expect them to move Tim, and I would hope they find a way to keep him next year. I mean, I think he is becoming a better pitcher, a different pitcher than he was when he was younger. And you know, he, as I wrote earlier this week, he's right up there with the most beloved athletes in Bay Area history. He has a real place in the fans' heart, in the mythology of the Giants. He's he probably means more to the franchise than any other player, you know, for many, many years, and that includes Buster Posey, just because he kind of is the face of the new era, and he was the one who was there when they kind of came out of the darkness of the Barry Bonds era, and, you know, people just really love this guy. So I don't envision them moving him this year, and I hope they find a way to work out a deal to keep him. That's going to take, you know, some negotiating on their part, some acquiescence by Tim to recognize that he won't get the kind of deal that maybe Matt Cain got, you know, that chance might have passed him by. But hopefully they'll find a way to keep him.
Let's talk about the question of consistency. The A's have been remarkably consistent. The Giants have been remarkably inconsistent. You wrote this morning, Ann, and I mentioned it in my promo for this program, that the Giants, the Angel Pagan play in which he hit a inside the park home run that won the game, also injured himself, may now be out for the rest of the season, sort of is the perfect metaphor in so many ways for how the Giants have played this year. What are the Giants? How can the Giants become more like the A's, Ann?
It's a different situation. The A's adore operating under the radar a little bit. In some ways, the teams are the same. There's a lot of similarities between Bochy and Melvin. They're both really great managers in terms of pulling teams together and finding that special chemistry, the thing that, you know, a lot of saber-attritions poo-poo when it comes to baseball. They're like, oh, chemistry, what's that? But both the A's and the Giants last year and 2 years before that have amazing chemistry and just kind of that full team working on all cylinders kind of feeling. The Giants, you know, it's hard to put your finger on what's been wrong with them. They did, you know, there's some obvious things like injuries that they've suffered earlier this year, but they had this collective pitching slump, which just seems, you know, odd. And one of the theories is that the toll of two really long seasons in 3 years of going deep, deep, deep into the postseason and winning it all that collectively took its toll. And I think that's, you know, that's a theory that's interesting. It really could be part of it. And then, you know, they've had lousy hitting for most of the last 2 months. And, you know, Sandoval is a big issue for them. He was injured, and then, you know, when he came back from his injury, he hasn't been hitting well. You know, the only really consistent guy seems to be Buster Posey. And, you know, it takes a lot more than that. So I don't know how the Giants can become the A's, but I know that, you know, consistency is definitely something that Bochy talks about. They've been wildly inconsistent.
And Rick Tittle, will that consistency of the A's see them through, both into the playoffs but beyond? They've been, you know, they haven't been to the World Series since what? Since 89?
1990.
So can they get that to that final destination?
Well, when they've been the best team in baseball over the last calendar year, and you think about, you know, as you were just contrasting the two teams, I mean, the Giants can't win on the road. They've lost 35 games on the road last year. They've already lost 31 this year. The last road game Zito won was game 5 of the NLCS in St. Louis. So that's a problem there. I know some people have looked at the A's, that the A's are have a losing record in day games, but they're 18-19. It's nothing to panic about right now. It's just that there are some people who say, you know, the A's are going fine right now. You don't need to mess that up. But there are some people that said that in 1989 when they added Ricky Henderson. And some people said, oh, you've brought in a me guy to this, you know, this good ship lollipop. You've brought in a bad ego. I was all for it. You're bringing in the best leadoff hitter in the history of baseball, replacing Luis Polonia. And as you know, the A's went on to win the World Series. I think it would be a shame that – I don't think they're going to make a big move. I don't think they're going to move a Michael Choice or a Sonny Gray or a Addison Russell or anything like that. But I think they will probably beef up the bullpen a little bit. Their lefties have been a little bit unreliable, and Blevins and Doolittle lately, I would see something there. They could upgrade the catching position, especially defensively. They're both Norris and Jaso can't throw anybody out. At least Jaso can raise his hand and say he's batting over 250. But I don't see them making a big splash. They kind of wear a badge of honor that, you know, we're cheap and we win anyway.
Rick Tittle joining us along with Ann Killian as we talk about the second half in baseball. And we'd like your participation as well. If you have a question for either Rick or Ann or observations about where the Giants and A's stand, you can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Let's broaden out our discussion a little bit beyond the Giants and A's to the rest of baseball and what we're looking for the rest of the season, both in terms of surprises that may come, surprise players, surprise teams, but also whether or not anything's going to happen. First, Rick Tittle, and then you, Ann, on yet another case, the Biogenesis case involving performance-enhancing drugs. Are suspensions coming down soon? Will Bartolo Colon of the A's be one of those? And how, in turn, would that affect their prospects?
Well, we don't know what the deal is with this Anthony Bosch guy, Biogenesis. You know, it's funny, Louis Pasteur came up with Biogenesis, and his name's his anti-aging clinic in Florida after this. But he is a guy who has this list. He's going to cooperate with MLB. It's all rumors and conjecture at this point. But now we hear the rumor that the suspensions won't be this year. Bartolo Colon was an all-star. He is an all-star. With 12 wins at the break, it would very much hurt the A's. I would like to think that it would be a case of double jeopardy, that he had already done the crime and served the time. Colon, remember, raised his hand and said guilty as charged and served a suspension. Melky Cabrera came up with this farcical website, tried to worm his way out of it. I don't know. We hear 150-game suspensions for A-Rod, but I don't know if Ann has heard any different. But at this point, it is just all rumors about what will exactly happen.
What do you know, Ann?
Nothing. it's one of those stories that kind of is leaking out in dribs and drabs, and you know, and MLB is the source of the leaks, and the Players Association is upset about that, and you know, there are issues about you know, the guys who've already served suspensions should serve them again, which they might, Bartolo being one of them, because of their stories. Maybe the stories they came up with weren't true, and I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just another cloud that baseball suffers. So, you know, I don't know when it's going to be resolved, if it's going to be resolved, but certainly there's some, you know, big names in there like Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun. But it could impact a lot of teams, which you know, would be exactly what baseball doesn't need in the so-called post-steroid era.
Well, let's talk for a moment about the flip side of the post-steroid, or let's talk about the post-steroid era and an interesting story that's the flip side of the performance-enhancing drug investigation, and that's Chris Davis and his pursuit of the home batting hitting 60 home runs. He has said that if he surpasses, he thinks of 61, the old Roger Maris number, as the record. Do you think he'll get there? And do you think he's right that that really is the number that we should be looking at? Ann and then Rick.
I don't know if he'll get there or not. You know, he's one of these guys that's when someone breaks out like that, they and nobody knows who they are and nobody expects it, and there's no pattern of it of them hitting like that before. You know, there's a lot of speculation, just like, you know, I have the Tour de France on TV right now. There's a lot of speculation about how guys can get up these mountains without, you know, so-called clean and being so-called clean. I don't know if he'll get there, but I have no problem with him considering that 61 is the real record. You know, I covered Barry Bonds in the record-breaking pursuit, and, you know, it was pretty much of a travesty. You know, the record books say one thing, people's hearts say another. It's certainly something that will be debated for years and years. And if nobody ever gets close again to the Bonds or Maguire marks, then I think it's perfectly legitimate for someone to feel that they are elite if they get to 61 or 62.
Rick?
Well, I mean, Davis was a big masher at Texas. He just struck out way too much, and they finally gave up on him in the Uehara deal to the Orioles. And sometimes it takes a guy to get locked in. You know, Chris Davis can say whatever he wants. The record is 73. You know, and it's not enough for us to just say this guy was on steroids, this guy wasn't. I mean, we know Jason Grimsley dealt steroids. He was a pitcher. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not into asterisks. The record is 73. That's the record. And Chris Davis can say it's not really the record. And as Ann said, in our hearts, maybe it's not. But that is the record.
Is there still an asterisk, by the way, next to Maris?
No, that was taken off.
The longer season that he played than Babe Ruth?
That was taken off, yeah.
Questions from our listeners. Who poses the biggest challenges to the A's and Giants for the rest of the season? Well, the biggest challenge to the Giants is the Giants, perhaps. But what would you say, Ann? What are the biggest challenges for the Giants and then Rick on the A's?
Well, I think you're right. For the Giants, the biggest challenge is themselves and trying to find the consistency. They are the reigning world champions. They do have the respect around the league. Nobody is thinking, oh, those guys. I mean, I talked to Kirk Gibson yesterday, the Diamondbacks manager, and he's like, I don't view them as a fourth place team, but you know, that's what they are. But obviously, you know, the Diamondbacks are a really good, scrappy team that could win this division. And then the Dodgers, the Dodgers have the huge payroll, they have the talent, everyone keeps waiting for them to kind of make the run to pull away from this division, and it could happen, but then again, who knows. But I would say, you know, for both the A's and the Giants, the big issues are within their division, and the A's are the same way. I mean, they're dealing with these two teams that have giant payrolls and superstars, and so far they're owning them. So, you know, it's just for the A's, it's just stay the course pretty much, and for the Giants, it's trying to figure out who they were last year and get back to that.
Yeah, and the great news for the Giants is they play in the worst division in baseball, and within 1 week, they literally could be in first place again. They're not going to win one of the two wild cards, but as long as they're in that division and it stays the epitome of mediocrity, they can be right back in it. Now, right now, the A's in the West, it's a two-horse race, but you know, the Angels have, as Anna was mentioning, the money to make some moves. They've got a lot of talent there. If it ever comes to fruition, if they can get everybody healthy, they made a real strong move to the Angels last year. It looked like, you know, oh my gosh, here they come. And then they petered out at the end. So I wouldn't expect Seattle or Houston to do anything as far as making the playoffs, but they're always a little thorn in the side. People will look at the A's and say, oh, how lucky you get to play the Astros, which they're 9-0 against Houston this year. But then you look at the Angels, Houston swept them in a four-game series in Orange County. So I think she's right. Just stay the course. And the one good thing about the A's is if they do slip a little bit, Bob Melvin never panics. He never gets excited when they do well. He never panics when they do poorly. And they're just going to keep grinding along and hope that these big payroll teams don't live up to expectations.
Carl tweets in, the A's always do more with less. The Giants are the exact opposite. Are the A's really doing more with less, or do they have more? Is there more there than we give them credit for?
Well, go ahead, Ann.
I think that they do more with less. I mean, it's obvious their payroll is still pretty small, and the A's always have talent. It's talent that most people wouldn't recognize if they walked through their front door. People don't know their names. They don't know who they are. They had one all-star who's a 40-year-old steroid-tainted guy. And I mean, they do more with less. The big difference with them in the last couple of years is Bob Melvin. Billy Beane for years discounted, the importance of a manager. And he finally wised up and hired a really good manager, a really good guy. They're reaping the benefits of that. I mean, they've always had the talent. They just didn't have the cohesion or the leadership or the chemistry. So that's the biggest difference. I wouldn't say the Giants do less with more. I mean, this team won two World Series in the last 3 years, and a lot of it is with homegrown talent. It's not like, the big free agents and they went out and, did the Yankee thing or the LA Angels thing. They grew most of their talent and they won two World Series with it. So I don't really see how the Giants are doing less with more. That doesn't really, I know that's coming from an A's fan, but that's not really true.
Rick?
Well, it's also a perceived ambition too. I mean, the Giants, when they were defending title holders in 2011 with Posey out, they needed a bat and they made the move to trade Zach Wheeler for Carlos Beltran. They knew that their window might be closing and they wanted to defend their title. And as it worked out, it didn't work out. I mean, Carlos Beltran is an all-star for St. Louis. He's one of the top 10 players in baseball when he's healthy. Wheeler just pitched for the Mets, and some might say, how could you have done that? I think as a fan, I think you should appreciate, if you're a Giants fan, that the ambition they have. Then this last year, trading Tommy Joseph, a great catching prospect, to get Hunter Pence, who wasn't just a rental player. They kept him around for this year as well. He's doing very well. They spent the money to keep Pagan. And remember, with him out, he scored 95 runs last year. That's a lot of runs to replace. They spent the money on Scudero to keep him. They had a healthy Panda, we thought, all year. I thought the Giants were going to be much better this year. I think that's why one of the biggest surprises in baseball is that they're not.
Quick last question from John, who writes, the reason for inconsistent home-away records is commonly discussed, but what factors in college games, but what factors contribute to road woes in baseball? Could the great atmosphere at AT&T be hurting the team when it's on the road? Just a quick thought on that, Ann, please.
Well, I mean, the same thing as any road, the park isn't set up for you. The Giants are built for their park. They're built with pitching, theoretically, and defense, theoretically. But so they're built to win at AT&T, and other parks are not as friendly to them. And sure, I mean, there's the comfort of home. There's the fans who have been great, through this 3-year stretch, or, with them every pitch. I mean, that's all very comfortable, and you get on the road and. And, I mean, a perfect example of it was Toronto. I mean, they went up there.
I've got to hold you there, Ann. Sorry, we're out of time. Quick last prospects. A's make it to the playoffs?
Yes, knock on wood.
Giants?
No.
Ann?
I don't think the Giants are going to climb out of this, but.
Okay. Thanks both. Ann Killian, Rick Tittle.
Thanks, Dave.